Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Pentecost 10, and a special welcome to guests and visitors and those who are joining us virtually through Facebook and worshiping with us online. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. A couple of announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, you know that during the month of August, we have a matching gift for our building fund of $25,000, and presently we received $14,720. So we thank God for this and the matching gift that is coming our way as we continue to discern God's will for God's land and God's church here in Rochester, Minnesota. Also, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be having an in-person but socially distancing men's Bible study. If the weather cooperates, we'll be outside like we were a couple of weeks ago, where we can then study the scriptures together and spend time together in God's Word. That'll be this coming Wednesday from 11 to 12 o'clock noon. I want to thank everyone that participated and planned for the picnic last week and the blessing of the land. The Lord blessed us with good weather, and we're grateful for that. Yesterday was the 49th wedding anniversary of Samia and Arnie Nelson, so we congratulate them and we praise God for the gift of holy Christian marriage. Congratulations to both of you. And then tomorrow will be Heather Mickish's birthday, so if you get a chance tomorrow, try to give her a call and wish her a happy birthday. I know that these have been hard times for her. She's self-employed as a beauty salon operator, a hairdresser, out of her home, and with COVID-19, it's been a hard time. So please keep Heather and her daughter Maddie in your prayers as well. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. In our prayers tonight, we'll have lots of people that we're praying for, and we're also going to be praying for Bob Harms. He had some eye surgery, and so far he's not able to see out of his good eye right now. So we want to lift Bob Harms up in our prayers tonight, and all who are battling illnesses and diseases, and all who look for the gift of God's mercy and grace in their lives. I invite you then to rise as you are able. My life flows on in endless song.
My life flows on in endless song. Lamentation. I catch the sweet though far off hymn that hails a new creation. No stone can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am His. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven, can I keep from singing?
We continue with our greeting on page one of your bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
A people holy to the Lord our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your hearts. Teach them to your children.
Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
One does not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
We sing our scripture song.
Soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the midst of the storms of life, Christ's presence brings eternal peace and calms our fears. Grant us peace through Scripture and through the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Then send us forth to be signs of Christ's peace in the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Job chapter 38, beginning with verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 18, starting with verse 1, and we will read it responsively. I love you, O Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer.
My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies.
The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me.
The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord.
To my God, I cried for help.
From his temple, he heard my voice.
And my cry to him reached his ears.
The second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning with verse 5. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. Earlier today, I recorded the children's message on our Facebook page, and it's also on our Emmanuel website, so parents and grandparents can take note of that with their kids and grandkids. And then also now we're going to sing Eternal Father, Strong to Save, verses 1 and 2 before the sermon, and verses 3 and 4 following the sermon.
Who bade the mighty, who Savior, whose almighty word the winds and waves submissive heard, who walked upon the foaming deep and calm amid the storm did sleep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea.
Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. Dear friends in Christ, our gospel reading for tonight is about saving faith in Jesus, the kind of faith that empowers through the gift of the Holy Spirit for God's people to literally walk on water. To walk on water is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Do you believe that it's possible to walk on water? Do you believe in miracles? Or is miracle something that's beyond comprehension? In other words, something that has to be explained or perhaps put away with a joke. I believe in miracles, and I trust that you do too. A miracle, an unexplained happening that faith, saving faith in Jesus, recognizes as the hand of God. Saving faith, walking on water, keeping our eyes on Jesus. God makes the impossible possible all the time, especially if you believe in the reliability of the Bible and the authority of Scripture. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, they had their first child, Isaac. Impossible, some people say. It can't happen. Do you believe it? I do. What about the other stories that we see scattered throughout the Old Testament? There was this donkey that belonged to Balaam, and he spoke to Balaam, even though he was a wicked prophet that was going to curse God's chosen people, Israel. Or what about the burning bush where God revealed himself, but the bush wasn't burned up? And God said to Moses, I am who I am for whom I choose to be. The God of the burning bush, the great I am. What about the 10 plagues that Moses did before Pharaoh? What about God leading his people through the Red Sea on dry land, and then Pharaoh's soldiers were drowned? What about 40 years of the wilderness and manna and water from the rock and quail? Do you believe it? Do you believe in miracles like Jonah swallowed by a big fish, running away from God, captured by the big fish, and then spit out on dry land? Go and tell those Ninevites to repent. And he went and he preached, and from king to beast, everyone repented. Do you believe it? Throughout the Old and New Testament, miracle after miracle, the reliability of God's word for God's people. Walking on water, saving faith in Jesus, that brings about the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Sometimes I like to listen to sermons that are preached by other people, other pastors. And so this past week, I listened to a sermon by a Lutheran pastor, and it was based upon Matthew chapter 14, our gospel for last week and our gospel for tonight. Now, it was an interesting sermon because, as you recall, last week's story was the miraculous feeding of 5,000 men plus women and children. Actually, Jesus spent the whole day healing people. So he did miracle after miracle after miracle throughout the whole day before he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed the multitude. Now, what was interesting about this sermon that I was listening to, and I've got to admit, I couldn't listen to it to the very end. And the reason being is because the pastor said that the miracle was actually that Jesus stirred the hearts of people and that they took all the food that they had brought with them and they shared. I'm sorry, but that's hard for me to stomach. Especially when you're battling cancer and when you're praying for lots of other people who are battling cancer. I believe in miracles, and I believe that God's Word is exactly what God's Word says it is, that Jesus healed people throughout the day, and that he took 5 loaves, and he took 2 fish, and he fed maybe 10, 20,000 people. And I don't think that the solution to what ails us in life is going to be simply giving people antibiotics, sending them to Mayo Clinic, or simply saying, well, maybe we can stir your heart a little so that you'll share. Now, I'm not saying sharing is bad. I'm saying sharing is really good. And that's what saved people do, people with living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we do. But we're not the solution to what ails us. Only Jesus Christ can save us from our sins, raise us from the dead, and give us eternal life, only in the name of Jesus. That's why you hear St. Paul proclaim loudly and clearly to the Christians in Rome, and it shall be as the Scriptures say, and it shall be as the Scriptures say, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. You see, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach good news, the saving faith of Jesus. Because with our lips we confess that Jesus is Lord, and with our hearts we believe that God raised him from the dead. And we shall be saved. Because as Paul says, the word is near you, in your heart and on your lips. Now, a lot of people, they have trouble with miracles. And so the human tendency is to try to explain everything away, to rationalize things. Just tell me how it's done. Kind of like people that like to do all kinds of magic tricks. And then they say, well, I can't tell you what the trick is. Or people that turn stories in the Bible into just humorous jokes. You've heard them. Like the three ministers that went out fishing together. They got into the boat, they went out into the lake, and then one of the pastors, he says, ah, I forgot my lucky fishing hat in the car. And he gets out of the boat, walks on the water, goes over to his car way back on the land, comes back with his fishing hat. Now I'm ready to fish, he says. The second says, I forgot my tackle box in the kitchen. So he goes, walks on the water, gets on the cabin there, gets his tackle box, and comes back. Well, the third minister, he thought, I'm not going to be outdone by these guys. I mean, I got just as much faith as they've got. So he gets out, takes a couple of steps, and plunges to the bottom. Thank goodness the other two pastors are back there to lift him out. And he does it a second time, and he sinks down. And he said, I got just as much faith as you guys got. And then the two other pastors look at each other. They say, do you think maybe we ought to tell them where the rocks are? Well, that's the solution that we human beings have, isn't it? We want to understand everything. We want to wrap our heads around everything. We want to explain everything because we don't want to believe that with God, the impossible is always possible. That's the witness of Scripture. That's what saving faith is about. To walk on water is to be given the gift of faith by Almighty God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what God has given us so that we can have the faith to believe in miracles. And to believe that with God, all things are indeed possible. Well, last week, Jesus fed a multitude, but only after he had healed and healed and healed. And then he sent his disciples away in a boat. Now, you know that churches used to be built kind of like the hull of a boat. You know, we call it the nave. So the boat has always been in the life of the church, an image for the church. We're boat people. God has baptized us, right? The wind and the waves that were against us are now for us through the living water of holy baptism and by the almighty grace of God. So we're boat people. Jesus puts the disciples in the boat and says, go over to the other side. I'll be coming behind you. And they get in and he dismisses the crowds. And then he goes by himself to commune with the Father. To pray. And then we're told that maybe the fourth watch of the night, which is about maybe 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., that the disciples are struggling. The wind is against them. The waves are against them. Maybe they're going to capsize, but we know for sure that they're exhausted and they're tired. They're not making any headway. And Jesus is not oblivious to this. Jesus sees what's going on. And what does he do? Well, he doesn't get in a boat. He walks on the water right out to those disciples. But they get in a panic because, well, Peter and the other disciples, they think it's a ghost. They're scared to death of the ghost. And so Jesus has to speak to them. Remember what Paul said? The word is near you. Jesus speaks the word to them. Take heart. I am. Do not be afraid. That's what it says, literally. I am. God's personal name revealed to Moses in the burning bush on Mount Sinai. You remember that miracle. And now Jesus is saying, you don't have to worry. I'm not a ghost. It's me, your Lord, your Savior. I'm right here with you. I'm right here for you. And that's when Peter says, Lord, command me to come to you. I think that's a beautiful word. Command me to come to you. It's not about command me to walk on the water. Command me, you know, or invite me or something. You know, he says, command me. You're the one with all authority, Jesus. And so Jesus says, come. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, right, will be saved. Peter gets out of the boat at the command of Jesus, and he's walking on water. And it's not Minnesota ice in the wintertime. He's walking on the water. He's right next to Jesus. And then something happens. Did you see what happens? The wind and the waves. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and immediately sinks. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and he's got a problem. And Jesus grabs him, lifts him up, and he says, and you can translate it either way, oh, little one of faith, or oh, ye of little faith. Peter has faith, God-given faith, saving faith. You've got the God-given saving faith of Jesus by the grace of God, not through any works or effort or merit on your own. And so Jesus takes hold of him and says, why? Why such little faith, little one, huh? And then, did you hear what Peter says? I mean, what Peter had said in the midst of falling and collapsing and being submerged in the water, he says, Lord, save me. That's what God's word does. That's what saving faith does. Peter may have taken his eyes off of Jesus, but the saving faith, the grace of God is not gone. Jesus is right there with him and for him, and Jesus lifts him up because he calls on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And that's what Jesus does. And then they're in the boat together, all the disciples. And they worship him because that's what people do. They worship the one true living God. The God who makes the impossible possible every day. The God of miracles. The God who heals us. The God who makes us well. The God who saves us. The God who sends his Son into the world to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and the resurrection of our bodies. This is our saving Lord. And he commands us to walk on water every single day, to believe in miracles, to believe that the impossible is always possible with God. Now, I don't know if you've looked ahead, but immediately following our gospel for tonight, Jesus and the disciples end up on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and the people know about Jesus. I mean, they've heard the word because the word is near you, and they gather all the sick. That's what they do. They gather all the sick, and they ask Jesus, they beg Jesus to heal their sick, and he heals the sick. You see, isn't it beautiful? I mean, we get so caught up in the walking on the water and the feeding of the 5,000, and we forget that what preceded it and what immediately follows it is miracle after miracle of healing in the name of Jesus. Jesus commands us to live by faith alone, the saving gift of God alone. So I want to tell you a couple of stories about getting out of the boat. The first one is about a little girl named Nikki, seventh grader, battling leukemia. Nikki has lost her hair, she has to wear a wig. She's okay with that. She's been raised in a family of faith where she believes in Jesus. And she knows that the cancer that she has is serious, and she's not afraid of dying, because she believes that in heaven, Jesus has a place for her. But you know what's hard for Nikki? When she goes to school and none of the other kids will occupy the lockers on each side of hers, or they won't sit by her in math class, or they won't sit by her in the cafeteria, or they'll pull off her wig. It's hard. And then she heard about a couple of kids. She heard about a seventh grader that was in Arkansas, and he took his Bible to church every day. Took his Bible to school every day. We'd expect to bring it to church every day, right? Yeah. But he took it to school, and there was three kids that would bully him. They would torment him. And so one day, this young boy, he looked at one of the bullies and he said, "I bet you couldn't even carry this Bible around for just one day." And so the bully did it to prove his point, and eventually became him and the other two bullies, they became the three best friends of this boy. And then Nikki heard about another story from Ohio. Evidently, Ohio State didn't have a state motto, but they do now. You know what it is? Ohio State's motto is, "With God, all things are possible." And there's a kid that got that, you know, by getting all these petitions and stuff signed, got that to happen. And when Nikki, you know, the seventh grader battling leukemia, when she heard this, it kind of stirred her. It gave her courage. And so one morning she announced to her parents, even though they said, "You don't have to go to school if they're picking on you and bullying you." She said, "No, that's okay." She said, "Today I'm going to find out who my best friend is. Today I'm going to find out who my real friends are. They either take me for who I am, or they don't take me at all." And then she got some tears in her eyes, and she took off her wig, and she put it on the car, on the seat of the car there. And then she said, "Pray for me, Mom and Dad." So they prayed for her right there. And then she went in without the wig on. And nobody bullied her. Nobody tormented her. You see, she knew that she probably didn't have a lot of time left. And she wasn't afraid of dying. What she wanted to do was to live for Jesus, to walk on water. To walk on water is to literally get out of the boat every day and to live by the grace of God and the saving faith of Jesus. And then the second story, it's from 1975 to 1979. Some of you know about the killing fields in Cambodia. Pol Pot, the Khmer Rouge, all that stuff that went on. 2 million people, right, as they were trying to, it was a Cambodian genocide. People dying of starvation or being executed or overworked or malnutrition. But there was a 19-year-old and 99 others that realized that they either escaped or they would perish. And so they began the journey from captivity to freedom. And one was a 19-year-old girl named Kum. And they had to go through valleys and treacherous areas, and there was communist soldiers pursuing them. They knew that the likelihood of surviving was slim and none. But somehow, there was a presence leading them. And then they got to this mountain, and there was a valley with lots of thorns down below. They had to get across that at night. And if they didn't, they would most likely perish. But it was filled with thorns and stuff. It would be impossible to get across in the dark. You know what happened that night? As they were making that treacherous journey through the valley from captivity to freedom, thousands of fireflies lit up the path so that they could make it through to the other mountaintop and into freedom. And when they arrived at the refugee camp, there were some Christians there who invited Kum to come to a meeting they were having. She went into the building where these Christians were gathered. She wasn't a Christian. And when she went in there, hanging on the wall was a picture. She said, I know that man. That's the one who sent the fireflies. That's the one who's been leading us all of these days from captivity to freedom. And they said, his name is Jesus. She recognized him. It shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Take heart, I am. Don't be afraid. Believe in miracles. Believe in healing. The greatest healing of all, my friends, is the salvation that God has granted and given to you and me. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the miracle of walking on water, living every day by the grace of God in the faith of Jesus. I believe in miracles, and I know that you do too. So take heart. I am, Jesus says. Don't be afraid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able then for verses 3 and 4 of our song of the day. We continue with our confession. In Christ you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone.
Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And in the days ahead, share God's peace with one another, the peace that brings salvation and hope in the present and also for all eternity. Congregation may be seated. We won't be passing offering baskets. We have the basket in the back for those that wish to support Emmanuel, and there are other ways too to support the ministry of the congregation online as well. I want to thank all who support the gospel of Jesus Christ through their tithes, through their offerings, and through their prayers. We'll now continue with our closing prayers.
Holy Father, we bow in adoration before your majesty. We stand in awe of your wisdom, power, and goodness, and we thank you for your strong, saving love made real for us in your dear Son. Send us your Spirit so we boldly obey his commands and humbly crave his mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send your church into every corner of the world to preach the gospel of salvation through Christ alone. By your Spirit, give it humility, faith, and courage to proclaim your holy word with faithful clarity and winsome charity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Protect us from storms of contention, controversy, and confusion. Shelter us in your arms and help us trust your guidance. We pray for those who are overwhelmed by winds and waves of grief, adversity, and suffering. In our storms, come to our aid and teach us how to walk on water. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick, injured, dying, and bereaved, for the troubled, confused, lonely, or despairing, and for everyone who struggles with the tribulations of this life, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for Melody Graves, for Paige Johnson, for Julie Blanchard, for Denny Damerval and his mother Gwen, for Pastor Dan Brooklyn, for Barb Stephenson and Amy Cooper, for Bernie Siebenaler, for Pam Deacon Joyner, for David Christensen. We pray for Eric Walker, for Bishop John Budowski. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Timothy Keller and with Luke Richards, with Dale Covington, with Connie and Dale Sir, with Barbara Huggins, with Jeff Bernards and Brad Lund and Terry Anderson. Gracious Father, we pray for comfort and peace for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, especially the family of Virginia Standoff. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon Letha and Daryl Bothan with the healing of surgery and also the care of their feet. We pray for Danny Trausch. And tonight, Lord, we pray especially your mercy upon Bob Harms. And we pray, Lord, that in your mercy you would restore his eyesight, that you give all of your people, O Lord, the comfort and the healing that we need, and the living, saving faith to trust in you, to believe in miracles, and by your grace to walk on water. Lord, we also pray that you would be with those that are struggling with the COVID-19, our brothers and sisters throughout the world, and we pray, Lord, for a cure to come from you, for all praise and glory goes to you, O Lord. Lord, be with your children, and comfort them, and care for them, and in your mercy, heal us.
And we lift up our pastor for healing, Pastor Stephenson. Yes, help us to show them in word and deed that through the though the world seems against them, you are for them. You love them and make them more than conquerors. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer, O Father, and grant all that glorifies you and builds up your people. This we ask for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our sending song, two verses of Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me. Go in peace, serve the Lord.